God, we're ready to receive today the teaching, ready to receive, God, what you have for us today. We ask, God, that you would help us. Let the Holy Spirit bring illumination, bring revelation. Let us have hearing ears today, Lord. I ask, God, that you help me teach your people. I ask, God, for that anointing right now to break and destroy every yoke and lift every burden from the people's lives. I thank you, Father, that they will grow. They'll be strong in the Lord this morning. And I thank you, Father, they'll take this word and they'll apply it to their life. And again, we give you all the glory for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. And amen. Praise God. If you would, please open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 9. Give me just a few moments to teach you this morning what I believe the Holy Spirit is wanting us to share. If you're writing down or want a title this morning, I've titled this teaching, How to Reap Your Harvest. How to Reap Your Harvest. I heard somebody say, it's harvest time. And we need to get up and get into the fields. And before I begin this morning, I want to lay some foundation that I need to get across to you concerning what the Holy Spirit has desired for us to learn and to know. I think we have to come back and we have to establish a motive for what we're teaching. A lot of times people don't really understand because they're used to maybe preaching, they're used to that inspiration, but they're not used to the information. And in this church, God has called us to give you information so that it can become practical to you and for you so that you can make application to your life. The Bible is the Word of God, and the Word of God works. But we have to learn to work the Word. In your bulletins, you'll find part of the message that we ministered last week on the prescription, if you will, or what I gave you as points last week to make a checklist in your life, because a lot of times I hear that phrase, why is it not working for me? Why does it not work? Well, if you'll go and look at that checklist and apply those things to your life and practice those things, then you'll find out that the Word of God does work. You'll find out that God wants to bless you as much as He wants to bless anybody else, because He's not a respecter of persons. And so when we start teaching some things, like I'm going to teach you probably today and in the next few weeks to come, because it'll take a while to get all of this across to you, we have to come back and establish motivation. Why do we need to be good harvesters? Now, if you're carnally minded and you're not spiritually minded, you're going to think that we're talking about money. You know, a lot of people think that we talk a lot about money. But let me just remind you of something. That our harvest, the financial harvest, is connected to the harvest of souls. In Matthew's gospel, let me just begin here and we'll go as far as we can this morning. In verse 35, it says that Jesus went about all the cities and villages teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Now, we've established that the gospel of the kingdom was the kingdom of God, in which Jesus is the ruler. He reigns as King of kings and Lord of lords. Amen. All right. He says, and healing how many sicknesses and how many diseases? See, every sickness and every disease among the people. Because in the kingdom of God, there is no limitation. There is no sickness. There is no disease. There is no poverty. Now, how many would like to be in that kingdom? And how many would like to be in that kingdom before you die? Okay. Well, Jesus come to establish that. It says, when he saw the multitudes in verse 36, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and they were scattered and like sheep having no shepherd. See, the responsibility of the shepherd is to teach the sheep. Because again, the teaching brings us information. Information can bring us revelation. And we have revelation, then we can be moved or be led by the Spirit of God. The Bible says that many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. So everything that you and I, what we do when we become Christian, is to learn how to be led by the Spirit of God. When you learn to be led by the Spirit of God, now listen to me closely, you will make less mistakes. People that know how to be led by the Spirit of God will make less mistakes, because the decisions that they make will be right. And whether you realize it or not, you're making decisions every day. People had to make a decision whether they'd come to church or not this morning. People have to make a decision whether they're going to pay attention or get distracted. How many know the devil wants to distract, even in a church like this, and get your attention on something else besides the Word? Get your attention on, it's almost lunchtime. Get your attention on, what am I going to do next week? Or what am I going to do tomorrow when I got this meeting, et cetera, and so on and so forth. And so we've come in here to pay attention. Amen. And so I need to establish the motive here of what we're teaching and why we're teaching it. And Jesus said, now look what he said. He said to his disciples, the harvest is truly, it is plentiful, but the laborers are few. We could say it this way. The harvest is plentiful, but those that are willing to work the word are few. Now I'm confessing in this church, because we are a word church, that you are more than willing to work the word. Because those that work the word will be what? Blessed in all that they put their hand to do. So we have to learn the word, be instructed in the word, be reproved by the word, let instruction come by the word, so that we can operate in the word, or that we can work the word in our life. Can I have a better amen? Amen. All right. He said, therefore pray that the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. And of course, chapter 10 goes right into instruction. And when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sicknesses and all kinds of diseases. Or, in other words, everything that Jesus come to do, he gave power and he gave authority for his disciples to do likewise. Amen? So, what we have to establish, first of all, if we're talking about a motive, so that we'll understand, a motive or motivation is what motivates us to act. You know, a lot of people have to constantly be motivated. Well, here's the first motivation for teaching you about being a good harvester, is for the sake of souls. Our number one motivation, in fact, our purpose for existence, is to win people to Jesus. We have to never forget that people without Jesus will be lost. If they die in their sin, if they die without the knowledge of God and God residing in their life and in their heart, they will be lost forever. So we always have to come back, even though this message is not about winning souls this morning, it's about the harvest. There's a harvest out there that the Bible and Jesus said is plentiful, and it's time for the laborers to get up and to go out into the fields and reap the harvest. So there ought to be a motivation for you and I that as we look out, just like if you would look out into a field full of grain or full of wheat, and on the horizon, as far as you could see, a ripeness of the grain, a ripeness of the wheat, and these combines or these pickers that are lined up ready to go out there and to harvest that field. But even further on the horizon is a big, dark-looking storm cloud, and it's coming that way. And there's an urgency. There's a urgency because the rain is coming, the storm is coming, the flood is coming to destroy the crops in that field. And so we know that as we move towards the end time or the time of the end, that there will be a hardening of hearts. There will be people that will wax worse and worse and become farther and farther away from the Word of God and a relationship with the Lord, the God who is really God, the only God that can save. And so we have to come back and say, okay, our motivation, this push, this urgency is because there is a harvest of souls to be won. But the harvest of souls is connected, now listen to me, is connected to the harvest of finance. Let that soak in. There is a connection between the harvest of finance, reaping, if you will, our financial freedom as it connects to the harvest of souls. But we have to be understanding or motivated that there's people that are still lost. There's people that are lost in our neighborhoods, in our city, in our communities, across this valley, across this United States, around the world. People are lost this morning. Can I hear a good amen? Well, that should be a motivation for us to want to be a harvester. Amen. Now, you're in Matthew or the gospel there. Go over to Luke, just to the right. So the ultimate number one reason to learn to be a harvester is for the harvest of souls. Okay. Luke chapter 12. Just want to lay these things out to you this morning so that you understand the message. You understand where we're coming from. And where we're trying to get to. Luke chapter 12, look at verse 13. Then one from the crowd said to him, are you there? Okay. Teacher, tell my brother, notice they call him teacher, because what? He was giving them instruction. He was giving them information. Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. But he said to him, or Jesus said to him, man, who has made me a judge or an arbitrator over you? And he said to them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things that he possesses. Now you could say it this way. One's life does not consist in the things that he possesses, but you could really turn that around and say one's life consists of what he gives. Think about it. People are not remembered for what they possess. They're remembered for what they gave. What they did. Hello? Okay. We're looking at a motivation here. Our first motivation is because there's a harvest of souls. We need to learn how to be good harvesters, because it should motivate us to see people dying, living in our world today without knowledge of God, the only true Savior. Now look at this. He says in verse 16, he spoke a parable saying this. Now look, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentiful. So what we're going to see here is a parable of a person who knew how and who had become rich applying principles of sowing and reaping. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do since I have no room to store my crops? Now here comes a tragedy. Here comes something that Jesus is teaching, and this will become our second motivation. Look at this. He said, I will do this, verse 18. I will pull down my barns and I will build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods, and I will say to my soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool. Say fool. Okay. Whose fool are you? This night, your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Well, we see a man here that knew how to prosper. He knew how to get ahead in life. But you see, here's the danger, and this is even a danger for us faith people, because we learn to live by faith. We learn to apply the principles of God, and we find out that these principles of God really do work, and all of a sudden we are being increased. All of a sudden the fulfillment of our blessing is coming to pass, and we make the mistake of starting to store up and then wonder what we're going to do with it. So the second motivation, and you need to write this down, the second motivation for us teaching this message and for us to learn how to become good harvesters is because God has called you and I not to hoard up, not to store up, but to be blessed so we can be distributors of the increase of our harvest. Now that ought to motivate us, because if we're not careful, see, we will, people that have never had financial gain, people that have never learned, you know, maybe struggled many years and didn't have much, and all of a sudden they start living, you know, the life of a faith person, and they start applying the Word of God, and all of a sudden God begins to bless them, and they forget that it's God that caused the increase, and they get to thinking, well, I'm getting, you know, I'm getting up in age, I'm getting older, and so I better start storing up for the rainy day. In other words, now they're not trusting God anymore. They're trusting in those uncertain riches, or they're trusting in their stash, or they're trusting, see, that God has blessed them this far and he's not going to do anything else, so I better hang on to what I've got. Everybody say mistake. Now see, that's what he's teaching. So our first motivation has to be about souls, because there's a harvest of souls. Our second motivation has to be that we are distributors, that we are to distribute the wealth, the increase. Sure, we use, you know, part of that increase, part of that blessing for our life. But you see, to a natural farmer, listen to me, he has a limitation. He only has the acreage allotted to him by law or whatever he has to plant on. Maybe he's restricted by a fence. Maybe he's restricted by another property owner. But in the kingdom of God, there is no spiritual limitation. There is no limitation to the seed that you plant. And if there's no limitation to the seed that we plant, then there is no limitation to the harvest that we receive. Wow. This has to be a motivation for us, that God has blessed us to be a blessing. Now look at Deuteronomy chapter 15. Are you here? Okay. In the realm of the Spirit, there is no limitation. God has called us to be distributors. That's what we are. We are distributors of the increase of our harvest. Deuteronomy chapter 15. Now look at this. Because, again, sometimes people think that all you're talking about is money, and you want people to do this, you want people to do that. You're talking about being free from debt, and they don't understand. They don't understand these motivations in order to get themselves to a place where they're free. Now look what the Bible says. How many of you want to do what the Word of God says? Are we supposed to be soul winners? Are we commanded by the Lord Jesus Himself to go into all the world and preach this gospel to every creature? Hello? Do you think that this is done without financing? Do you think you can have a church, have a ministry, have all the things that we have so that we can be here for people or the harvest to come in of souls, and it doesn't cost anything? Do you think TV time costs anything? Do you think internet time costs anything? Do you pay your bills? Does it cost you anything to run your house? Does it cost you anything to turn your lights on? Does it cost anything to have your air conditioning running? Do you think it costs anything to get the message of the gospel around the world? How can they preach unless they've been sent? Sent means to be provided for. The financial harvest is connected to the harvest of souls. It was the same in Jesus' day, and it's the same in our day. Hello? Now look here. Here's another. I'm just talking about motivation. I'm just trying to motivate you a little bit this morning, so that you understand why we're teaching this and not get off into, well, I don't know why they always talk about money in that church. It's because you're not listening. Well, I should say, you may be listening, but you're not hearing. Okay, now here's something else. Look at this. Where do we distribute? At the end, look at Deuteronomy 15. Are you there? At the end of every 7 years, you shall grant a release of debts. Yeah. And this is the form of the release. Or this is how it's done. Every creditor who has lent anything to his neighbor shall release it. He shall not require it of his neighbor or his brother, because it is called the Lord's release. Of a foreigner, you may require it, but you shall give up your claim to what is owed by your brother. Except when there may be no poor among you, for the Lord will greatly bless you in the land which the Lord God has given you to possess as an inheritance. In other words, wherever the Lord brings you to, He will give you the power to increase there. It says, only if you are careful, or you carefully obey the voice of the Lord your God. See, there's always a condition to observe with care all these commandments which I command you today. For the Lord your God will bless you just as He promised you. Isn't that good? I said, isn't the Word of God good? The Lord will bless you just as He has promised you. Hey, it says you shall lend to many nations. You shall lend to many people. The Bible tells us that we are to be lenders and not borrowers. Why do we have to borrow? Because we don't have enough. Why do you have to borrow? I didn't hear one amen. You could at least said, oh me. See, I found out the people that don't want you to talk about money are the ones that usually don't have any. Or they're so stingy they don't want to give any. The reason that you have to borrow is because you don't have any to lend. If you had some to lend, you could lend some to yourself and not have to borrow. This is not rocket science, folks. is when you get into the religious mindset and back over into the tradition of men. Well, bless God, I give, but I don't expect anything. I don't expect anything back from my giving. Well, you selfish thing, you. You selfish thing, you. There's no motivation in you for souls. There's no motivation for you to keep your church a place that's open for all people to come in and find Jesus. To be able to send preachers, to be able to send the word, to be able to finance the gospel. Are you here? Why would we be so selfish that we think we serve a God that wants to keep us poor and begging and without? Well, I know we don't serve that kind of God. Well, then we've got to be instructed how to come out of those things. We have to have motivation how to receive our harvest. I'm going to teach you how to be good, listen, how to be good harvesters. Some of you are good sowers. Some of you have sown, you sow, you give tithe, you give offering, you sow and you sow. You sow every time we come and we take an offering, but there's something missing. What's missing? What's missing is we haven't learned to become good reapers, good harvesters. We don't want to just become good sowers. We want to become very good reapers, very good harvesters. Why? Well, he's going to tell you right here in verse 8, he says, "But you shall open your hand wide to him and willingly lend him sufficient for his need, whatever he needs." If your brother comes to you with a need, you should be able to lend to him whatever he needs. Are you there yet? Verse 11 says, "For the poor will never cease from the land. Therefore I command you, saying, you shall open your hand wide open to your brother, to your poor, and to the needy of your land." So we ought to be motivated, church, to become good harvesters, first of all, so that the gospel can be financed, so that there will be a finance connected to the harvest of souls, so that we come behind in nothing that we need to get this message, to get the proclamation of Jesus Christ. He lives, he was crucified, he died for our sins, and he ever lives. And there should be a motivation on the inside of us to be distributors. Why? Because we are commanded by God to give to the poor. You can't give to the poor if you're poor. You can't open your hand wide open. Well, you can open it wide open, but there's nothing in there. Are you with me? So we ought to be motivated by souls. And we ought to be motivated so we can become distributors. Hey, distributors. So we can be what the Bible says we are. We are the lenders and not the borrowers. We're the head and not the tail. We're above and we're not beneath. Bless God, that's the word of the Lord. But you know what? There's another motivation I want you to see. And that motivation is really a personal reason on my part. But it's about you. Because as a pastor, I want to see you free in the area of finances. God has called me here to proclaim the message of the gospel of the kingdom of God. And I want to see you live a life where you are free from the oppression of debt and poverty and lack, because that causes problems in your household. It causes problems in your relationships. It causes problems in your marriage. And it causes all kinds of other stuff to go on when you're operating in deficit and you're operating in lack. And I tell you, the Spirit of God wants that broken off of this congregation. He wants it broken off of your life in Jesus' name, that you can be free financially from debt and the bondage of it. So I don't care what the devil says. I'm going to preach it till Jesus comes. Because it's part of the message of the gospel. It's part of the message of the kingdom. He wants you free in the area of finances too. And if Jesus wants you free, I want you free. You can't be free to distribute if you're bogged down in debt. You can't be free to give to every good need if you're bogged down and you just barely can get by from hand to mouth. Oh, my check come in today, but it's already spent on the bills I need to pay. Hello. Well, that ought to be some motivation for us to learn about these things. Romans chapter 12. Somebody say, praise the Lord. I'm doing better preaching than you're saying amen. See, as your pastor, I have an obligation to teach you the principles of the kingdom. I don't just get up here and just spout off. I pray I never do that. I can preach inspirationally. I can get up here and never open the Bible, and I could get up here and exhort you for as long as you want to stay here. But that's not really what we need. We need information. We need to learn how to apply the Bible to our lives so that we give the devil no place in it, but that we can stand, bless God, in faith, being doers of the work. We are to be highly motivated in this place. Bless God, I go to a church where my pastor wants to see me free. I go to a church, bless God, where my pastor wants to see me prosper in all areas of my life. And he comes and he says something to me that I can take to the bank, because what he has spoken comes from the Word of God. Because I know it comes from the Word of God, because I found it in the Scripture where it says it. And if God said it, then that settles it. Amen. Quit thinking lowly. Quit thinking ugly. Quit thinking, he's after our money. I can't get your money if you don't have any. How dumb can we be? We can't remodel. We can't expand. We can't do the bathrooms. We can't get cameras. We can't do any of that if you don't have anything. Hello? Well, every one of us has been given a gift. Let me read this to you again, okay? Oh, boy. Let me just give you a little overview here, because I can see the time's already short and the fuses are lit. Y'all aren't mad at me, are you? I really am trying to help you. I really am. I'm here to tell you, you can start from nothing and nobody and become something and somebody in Jesus. But you're going to have to do it God's way. You're going to have to learn that there are keys to the kingdom. I don't give you formulas. We're not talking about formulas like, voila, A, B, C, do this and blah. We're talking about applying the Word of God. We're talking about keys to the kingdom. In other words, what does God say? Let me just give you three or four here, because I don't know how much more I'm going to get to this. But listen to this. People are deceived if they think they can just wait for God to bring it in. They're disillusioned. See, you'll get weary in doing well if you're just waiting on God to bring it in to you. You'll get anxious for nothing. Hello. You'll start being negative in your confession. You'll start talking about the economy like the world. Man, what if gas goes up to $4? What if it goes up to $5? Are you going to drive less? Well, some of you will. You know why? Because of your budget. You're going to have to make a choice. It's sure getting quiet now. You better have a good confession. You better quit letting corrupt, evil communication come out of your mouth. What if it does go to $5 a gallon? What's your confession? My God shall supply all of my need according to his riches in glory. Why should I live by a budget that my budget was set when it was $1.20 a gallon? Now it's $4 or $5 a gallon. Why don't you just believe God for more harvest? So you can afford whatever the world does. I didn't say we have to like it, but we got to live in it. You going to stop driving? You going to stop coming to church? You going to, now it's costing me, $80 a week now for gas. And I was giving $2 to the church. But now, see, what are you going to stop? Well, pastor is taking everything. Well, why don't you get in faith? Why don't you believe whatever it costs, we serve a God who is more than enough? Come on. Take the limitation off. I didn't say we have to like paying, you know, those guys over there, all those high prices, inflated and so on and so forth. But if that's the price of it, then God will make a way. And he's not going to shortchange the kingdom. But if we're not motivated by the reasons that we need to be good harvesters. See, what's missing? Read the scripture. He's given every one of us gifts. Every member. Look what it says. Verse 4. As we have many members, Romans chapter 12, in one body. But not all the members do have the same function or the same office of operation. So we being many are one body. Say one body. We're one body in Christ, individually members of one another, having then gifts different according to the grace that is given. He says, let us use them. And again, remember, he says, if prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our what? Our faith. Our ministry, let us use it to our ministering. Or he who teaches in teaching, and he who exhorts in exhortation, and he who gives with what? Liberality. So we need to be liberal when we give. I got to make a choice. Hey, what we have to learn is to be excellent in sowing. And most of you are. I will have to admit, our church has learned that we have to become proficient in sowing. And so, what's missing? We've learned how to sow, most of us. We give our tithe. We do it in faith. We give offerings above our tithe. What's missing? I'll tell you what's missing. The missing is the harvest. We need to learn to be good harvesters. A good harvester will have certain qualities about them. One of those qualities that we'll get into is patience. We need to make up our minds not only to be good sowers, but we need to be good reapers. Are you with me, church? We need to do, let me say it this way, we need to do real good at reaping. Especially in these last days. Especially when the world is putting the crunch and putting the squeeze. We need to be real good reapers. Say that with me. Say, I need to be real good at reaping. You've been good at sowing, but you need to be real good at reaping. Are you with me? Now let me just give you a couple things here more. You don't start reaping what you would like to. Well, I'm just going to believe God for $1 billion. You don't have faith for $1 billion. Start believing for your car to be paid off. Hello. Start believing that you can buy the groceries when you go in the grocery store that you want to eat. Hello. You got to start believing God where yet because you got to use faith. You can't believe beyond your faith. What do you actually expect to come into you? What do you actually expect for God to bring into your life. See, God will help you. Because there's no limitation in God, but what do you expect? Well, I hadn't thought about it, but well, that's what I'm trying to get you to think about. See, never substitute any of this for being led by faith. Never substitute. Don't give emotionally. Don't give because somebody's begging you to give. Be led by the Spirit. You're going to get in trouble if you're led emotionally. And you say, oh my goodness gracious. You've got to be led by the Spirit. And you've got to give. You've got to sow in faith. And again, see, these are not, I'm not up here to get you into get-rich-quick schemes. We're not schemers and we're not con artists. Amen? There's no place for that in the body of Christ. But what we are into is the Word of God. What does God want? You have to look into God's, listen to this, you have to look into God's Word sometime for months. Go back and look at the checklist that I give you. You've got to find Scripture pertaining to your situation and meditate on that Scripture, you know, day and night. It may take months, but one of the qualities of a good harvester is that they have patience. You don't just put the seed in the offering bucket on Sunday and say, okay, God. No, God has a time and God has a season. Being patient and walking it out. Now listen to me, being patient and walking it out in the Spirit. Why? Because those that learn how to move and learn how to be led and listen to the Spirit, just notice, they make less and less mistakes in their life. How many of you want to get to a place where you make very little, if any, mistakes? Get to a place where you make right decisions all the time. Go back and evaluate that. Every time I have made a mistake, every time I have made a faulty decision, it's because I didn't wait on the Lord long enough. Sometimes the Lord will give you the word maybe a year or 2 years before it's the season to bring it into reality. We've got to learn that we have to meditate upon that word. Get that word on the inside of you. We have to always be willing to learn new things as the people of God. He said, behold, I will do a new thing. Now, I'm not talking about some new off-the-wall doctrine. I'm talking about the Word of God. But we have to, it's new to us because we haven't seen it before. I have to come back sometime and think, even as your pastor, we have to slow the train down. Let me know what I mean. We have to slow the train down because we got people coming in here all the time, new people that don't know all these things. So I can't take for granted that you all know all these things. We got to start back and build a foundation. We got to come back and say, okay, why are we motivated to have a better and a greater harvest in our life? Well, first of all, it's got to be about souls. Everything that we do. Why do we want cameras? Why do we want better facilities? Why do we want a comfortable church? Because it's about souls. It's about people coming into the house of God, getting in a place where they can receive the engrafted Word of God that's able to save their soul. And you know what? We need good equipment to do that. I listened to one of my preaching the other day on the internet, and when I get loud, it gets loud. You listen to that thing, man, you got to be on the volume control all the time. But they make a gadget that'll control the level of the recording. Just cost a couple thousand dollars or whatever. See, man, these things don't just happen. Are you with me, church? You go into a nice restaurant and you say, I got to go to the bathroom. And you go in the bathroom and it looks like a pig pen. You're probably not going to go back to that restaurant again. So some of the elders, the boys, they convinced me. They said, "Pastor, before you get the TV cameras, you better do the bathrooms, because they're going to come in here and they're going to see the bathrooms. They ain't going to come back." Okay, we'll do the bathrooms first. But it's all about souls. It's all about winning people to Jesus. It's about being a distributor. God wants you blessed. God wants you to increase in your harvest so that you can be a distributor, so you can have to give to every need that arises. There ought to be a personal motivation. I'm tired of being in debt. I'm tired of being in bondage. I'm tired of being slave to the lender. Are you listening to me? I want my life to be a living epistle. I want it to be an example. It's a testimony for you to be living free from debt. Free from the stronghold of the enemy. You can stand up and say, they said, "How'd you get that?" My God made me rich. My God supplied this for me. Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. So we ought to be motivated to learn, but motivated for why we need to be good harvesters. Not just good sowers, but good harvesters. Now, I'll give you four things here, but I won't have time to preach on them. You just write them down. Think about these things, and I'll share these with you next time. First of all, reaping. We got to have these truths built in, stacked in, if you will, into our thinking. Reaping, number one, is not a new concept. It's not a new doctrine of the church, or it's not a doctrine of Word of Faith churches. It's a Bible throughout the whole Scripture, all the way back from Genesis, all the way you find it in the New Testament. It's not a new concept. Reaping has been around as long as Adam and Eve were in the garden. Hello. Number two, reaping is not automatic. How many of you think reaping is automatic? No, it's not. It's not. And sometimes this catches us off guard, because we want to do something and we want to do it sometime real bad. Sometimes I see things we need to do in the ministry. Sometimes we need to do in the church. But you know what? I found out it doesn't come automatically. It don't come just because I want it to come. So we'll learn about that. The third one is that it's our responsibility to reap. And I started on that part last week because God's done His part. But there's a man part. There's a part that you and I have to do. God's provided everything. He said, "I have provided all of your need according to my riches and glory by Christ Jesus." And then fourthly, it is your time. It is your time to reap. You have to believe that. It's time to get up. Rise up. And for people of God, people of faith, to lay hold by faith what God has promised them in His Word. Hallelujah. Come on, stand up with me. It's time for us to look onto the fields. Notice He said fields, plural. I'm excited about this teaching for you, because it also tells us, and we know Galatians 6, where it tells us God is not mocked and be not deceived. Most of us know that in here, that whatsoever a man soweth, he will reap. But the Bible also tells us that we will reap even where others before us have planted. See, we find out that in life, sometimes we go on. We go on to be with the Lord, or we leave at our designated time, and there's seeds that we have planted. Hey, somebody is going to reap from those seeds. Well, I'll take some of that, Lord. Because there's been people, listen to me, that have been faithful through their life. Once they got a revelation of Jesus, I can hear testimonies. I see some of these winter times. I hear testimonies of people that went through the years of the 30s and the 40s, depression, when there was nothing. There was no bread. You could go to the stores. Maybe, I don't know if you guys remember that stuff or not. But people stayed faithful to God. They still tithe. They still gave. They still gave their seed. Are you here? And maybe some of them have not reaped even from all the seed that they have sown. Oh, well, that's part of the fulfillment of the blessing of God. But we can learn to be good harvesters where we can reap real good even while we live. Hallelujah. I know you want to be good harvesters. I pray today that you're motivated to see why you need to be a good harvester and not just think, oh, it's about money. Well, it's about souls.